to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good. First of all, it's a pleasure to be up here today. I can't say I'm surprised to be up here today. And let me tell you why, because spirit is always communicating with us. I walked out this house this morning at about 6:30 to walk my dogs. And I heard this voice say, "You're going to speak on resurrection today." And I was like, "Nah." Went on walking the dogs, came back in, sat down. I was in the midst of my meditation, and I received this phone call from Julia. And normally I don't accept phone calls during meditation, but something said, "Answer this." And Julia's like, "Did you get Rafe's message?" I'm like, "No." She said, "He called you at 1:30 last night." I'm like, "Okay, we need you to speak this morning because," and she tells what happens. "Will you do it?" "Yes." So this is, as you said, an improv. Your reading was quite timely. Matter of fact, I listened to Mary Jane, I listened to Rebecca in her meditation, and I wanted to say what she said. Amen. But I think I'm going to do a little bit more. Today is what we traditionally call Easter Sunday. And in mainstream Christianity, that is the Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, his getting up from the grave after 3 days being entombed. And you know, it's a question because many times we don't really pay attention to that in some science of mind and new thought vicinities. And I was like, do I really want to discuss that this morning? And Reverend Rafe said, "You know, you can go pull something out of your bag." And I thought about pulling a message that I delivered a time or two before, but Spirit was like, "No, resurrection." I said, "Okay." So, first thing that I'd like to get straight, because some people think that here in Science of Mind, we don't honor Jesus. We don't pay attention to Jesus. But if you've taken any time to read The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes was a big fan of Jesus. He spent a lot of time talking about Jesus. And so we honor Jesus. We see him as a way shower, an avatar who went before us and who demonstrated for us what we are capable of. Our own potential. And so in his resurrection, we celebrate that because we see the potential for our own individual resurrections and that we have the power, that we are the divinity that can to resurrect, whether it is of our body, of our mind, our spirit, our lives, our world, and our communities. We too can participate and enjoy the resurrection. And so that is what we are here to discuss and to celebrate today. Now, there are a lot of different definitions of resurrection. The Cambridge Dictionary says, resurrection implies a total transformation, something beyond the physical realm. That works for us, doesn't it? A total transformation. Dictionary.com and the Collins Dictionary define resurrection as rising again from decay, disuse, revival. Rising again from decay, disuse. I can certainly say that there are those thoughts and my beliefs within me that appear to be decay and disuse. And maybe the disuse has been the fact that I don't use my divinity as much as I should. I don't rely on my divinity as much as I should. And so I want to resurrect from my disuse of claiming and knowing and honoring my divinity. Yes. How about you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Encyclopedia Britannica says that resurrection is the act of causing something that has ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again, to be used again. There was a reading in Science of Mind. I think it was March 20th. That's what impression that it had of me in the Daily Guides last month. And it was by Reverend Dr. Michael Godd. And he started it off by a statement by Reverend Melinda Walker something. And what she said is, I choose now to be myself rather than prove myself. And he went on to the statement, I have nothing to prove. How many of us spend so much of our times proving ourselves? Proving ourselves. And that is certainly an old belief, an old practice that I would like to lay rest to rest and to be resurrected from that. I know that that statement hit me so hard because I know that as a black gay man, I spent so much time in the society trying to prove myself to my family, to my friends, in my workplace, in my spiritual communities, to proving myself. And I'm sure that some of you have done something similar. But how about if we understand that we have nothing to prove? Yes. You nothing to prove. You are God incarnate. God chose, and I want you to hear that, God chose to express itself as you here and now. That's not an accident. That's not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are perfect just as you are right here, right now. And if we could really just take that to heart, if we could really just accept that fundamental truth about ourselves, this would be our own resurrection Sunday. And that's what we want to create, our own resurrection Sunday. Ernest Holmes says, the resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separated from God. For death is the illusion alone, not the reality. It is the death of the belief that we are separated from God. We talk about all the time, I'm one with God. We say that. We say that. We like to say that, don't we? And we perhaps have moments, and maybe some of you all are better than me. Maybe you all live in those moments a lot longer than I do. But we certainly have moments when we have that belief. But I can say in my own experience, the moments are somewhat fleeting. And so that's what I want to practice, is how do I move into a state of consciousness where I live in that belief, that knowing of my oneness. And that's what I'm inviting you to participate in with me, to engage in that practice. You know, we say here in Science of Mind that we participate in spiritual practice. That means that we know that we don't have it right. As Rebecca was referring, you know, this is our gym. This is where we come to work out. This is where we come to do our exercises. And this is what we are called to do, to practice the truth of our oneness with God. This week, there were some things that occurred in the Tennessee legislature that really threw off my knowing my own oneness with God. Because if I don't see your oneness, then I can't see my own. If there's any time that I am not seeing your oneness with God, then I'm not dwelling in my own oneness with God. You can't be in one and not have the other. And there were some people doing some things that I had certainly a hard time recognizing their oneness with God. There was a conversation that I was having with our son a couple of weeks ago. And he was sharing some things. And I was saying to Joe later on, I was saying, what I really need to get to him is to emphasize to him how he needs to just really reframe his belief in God. And if he can believe that God is present and active and that God is working everything for his good consistently, then this thing that's this blip in his life won't seem so big to him. It won't seem so significant to him because he'll understand that God, who created him, who expresses as him, can only show up as good. And the Spirit said, and have you got that message yet? the message you want to deliver to him. have you got that one yet? And it was like, ooh. So the question is, how do we practice our oneness with God? How do we move into a resurrection consciousness? And I would like to share with you two tools that I like to use. And one is, and I'm going to do this first. Before I share with you those tools, one thing I just want to encourage you, these are just my tools. They work for me. You need to find whatever works for you. Some people don't like to sit down and meditate. Some people don't want to, you know, read inspirational readings and so forth. But if walking in nature speaks to you, walk in nature. If sitting at the sink and washing dishes helps you just be mindless and helps your mind quiet, wash dishes. Whatever it is that speaks to you, find the practice that allows you to know and to be still and to listen to the divine voice within you. That's all that's necessary. So back to these two practices. One is contemplating the omnipresence of God. Most people, I think, will say God is omnipresent. And most of us accept that just sort of, yes. But just really meditating and contemplating, what does the omnipresence of God mean? And when I contemplate it, what the omnipresence of God means is that God is everywhere present. Everywhere present. That means we like to say the statement, there's not a spot where God is not. That means in me. There can't be a portion or a particle of my being where God is not fully and totally present, or otherwise God would not be omnipresent. The same is true for you. You are completely and totally, totally filled with the presence and the beingness of the divine. There's not a spot in you where God is not everything. Is a part of God, including you, practicing the presence. The second is a statement from Ernest Holmes that I love. If he only said these four things to me, these four sentences, and if I could just meditate on them, they speak to me in a way that just brings me back to my true self. That is, there is only one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. And then, but again, contemplating that, working with that, in my mind, what I do is there is only one life. That one life is God. That one life that is God is perfect. That one perfect life that is God is my life, which means my life is God, which means God is my life, which means my life is perfect. I am the one perfect life of God. How about that? So I want you to say that with me right now. There is only one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. And that is where Ernest Holmes said, our resurrection is removing our belief and our separation from God. Can you just take that tool or any other tool? When you run into those moments where you look in the mirror and you see somebody that you want to criticize, there is only one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. Say it to yourself. When you see that person that you want to criticize, first of all, start with, there's only one life. That life is the life of God. My life now. And then, and that life must be your life. Removing our belief and our separation from God. That is our resurrection. And so I invite you to your own resurrection Sunday. Namaste. Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.